Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa ala hama ba'd. So we're talking about Khadr explaining the three incidents to Musa. And the first incident was the issue of the fishermen and the ship. And we derive from this many points, but the main point was the following. If you want to be blessed in any area of life, use that area for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get more blessings. You want your children to be blessed, make sure they're loving Islam, they're praying, they're reading the Quran. You want your family life to be blessed, make sure your family household is practicing the ethics and the morals of Islam. You want to be blessed in your money, make sure your money is being spent fi sabilillahi ta'ala. Whatever you do for the sake of Allah, that very instrument of your doing, it will become something that is pleasing, something that will benefit you. So this is of the main lessons of the fisherman and the ship. The second story is the story of the child. What is the story of the child that was killed for absolutely no reason apparently? So now Khadr explains, وَأَمَّا الْغُلَامُ فَكَانَ أَبَوَاهُ مُؤْمِنَيْنَ. As for that young boy, so both of his parents were mu'min. And when the Quran uses the term mu'min, generally speaking, it is a higher level of simply a Muslim. Meaning they were good people, they were righteous people. They truly believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, فَخَشِينَ, Khidr is saying, we feared, meaning we knew what would happen, and يُرْهِقَهُمَا تُغْيَانًا وَكُفْرًا. That this young boy, when he grows up, he would overpower them to do sin and to do kufr. Now, scholars have differed how this would happen, and the fact of the matter is we don't know for sure. Some have said that it is said that he would have become a highway robber, and his parents would have begun to defend him and to hide and cover up his sins out of their love for the child. Some have said other stories as well. The bottom line is, had this child lived, the love that the parents have for the child would have adversely affected their own status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, when you love something, it causes you to become deaf and blind. When you love something, it causes you to become deaf and blind. You stop thinking rationally. We say love blinds, it's true. That when you fall in love with anything, it makes you blind. When you love money to that level, you forget where it comes from. You forget you have rights upon the money. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that this young boy, his growing up would cause his parents, for whatever reason, in their love for the boy, would cause his parents to stray from Islam. And kufr could mean they become kafir, and kufr could mean they become ungrateful, which is a type of sin. Both meanings are possible here. That it could be that they would have left Islam for whatever reason, or it could be that they would have become ungrateful for the blessings of Allah and lost their high status. So, by getting rid of the boy, what happens? The righteous parents remain righteous at that level. Not only that, their righteousness goes higher up. How so? Our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes one of our beloved and we are patient at that, the reward is nothing less than Jannah itself. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a woman came and said, Ya Rasulullah, I have lost three of my children. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, three of them? And she said, yes, three of them. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then indeed you have been protected from the fire of hell with a thick barrier of protection. Your loss has protected you from the fire of hell. And in one hadith, our Prophet ﷺ told us that when a child dies, and because the loss of a child, wallahi, it is the most painful, traumatic experience for any parent. There is no musibah, there's no calamity that is more painful for the parents than the loss of their own child, the loss of their own children, the loss of relatives, the loss of friends, even the loss of parents. We expect this as a part of nature, but the loss of children is not something that we expect. And any parent would give up his own life, her own life, to save the life of the child. So the life of the child when it goes is a very, very difficult tragedy. What will be the reward of the one who loses the child? And anyone who has lost a child, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase your ajr. And listen to this beautiful hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said that when Allah takes the child of somebody, the angel goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah asks the angel, Did you take, and then the Arabic is very poetic, and the English translates as the apple of his eye and the gist of his heart. Basically, did you take that which was the most beloved thing to him in the world? And the angel will say, yes, I did, O Allah. Allah will say, what was his response? The angel will say, he said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and he praised you and he thanked you. And so Allah will say, then I ask you to bear witness that I have built a special palace just for him in Jannah. And I have given this palace a name, and it is called Baytul Hamd. Because he praised me, I will build a palace for him with the name Baytul Hamd on it. And in another hadith, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave the good news to every parent who had lost a child. He gave the good news that those children, he said, will be waiting for their parents. There was the story goes that there was a Sahabi that the Prophet ﷺ would see him always. He would bring his young boy to play with him in the masjid. He would always have this young boy. And he said to the Prophet ﷺ, O Messenger of Allah, I love this boy, so I want you to love him as well. So he loves this boy so much as his young boy. Then for a while the man disappeared. Then he came again and he was very sad. So the Prophet ﷺ said, what is the matter? He said, my boy has died. My boy has passed away. So the Prophet ﷺ said, don't you love it, or aren't you excited that that boy of yours will be waiting for you at the doors of Jannah, and he will hold on to your hand so you can enter Jannah through any door that you please? Aren't you excited to be meeting him up there? And so this is a good news to anyone who has had this tragedy of having a young child taken away from them, that our Lord will give them a Baytul Hamd if they are patient. That, as the hadith says, there is no jaza, this is a hadith in Tirmidhi, there is no reward that anyone will get when he loses a beloved and he's patient, less than Jannah. There is no reward that he will get less than Jannah. And our Prophet ﷺ said the boy will be waiting for him in on the gates of Jannah. And in other ahadith we learn that Young children that pass away, they will be one category of intercessors on the Yawm al-Qiyamah. That they will beg and plead Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you must forgive our parents because they were patient at our debts. So they are of the shufa'a, they are of the intercessors on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So these two parents here in the story, they were righteous people. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want them to lose their righteousness. He wanted them to be raised in their ranks. So what did he do? He took away their most precious being, their most precious soul. Why did he take him away? Because Allah knew had this boy remained with them, it would have been for their own detriment. It would have been for their own evil. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took it away. And when he took it away, rather than their rank going down, their rank goes up. Because our Prophet ﷺ said, when Allah loves somebody, He tests him. When Allah loves somebody, He tests him. And the more that person is tested, the higher his ranks rise up in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these parents were tested in this manner. And then what? فَأَرَدْنَا أَن يُبْدِلَهُمَا رَبُّهُمَا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُ زَكَاةً وَأَقْرَبَ رُحْمًا. When Allah took this child away, He didn't just leave status quo. Rather, we wanted to substitute, yubadil, substitute them for a better child, a purer child, khayran minhu zakatan, a more purer child, wa aqraba ruhma, and one that was more merciful to them. So subhanallah, instead of just taking the child away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rather substituted them with a better child. And this leads us to a very important rule of our Islamic sharia, a simple rule, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rules. That our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that never does a person leave something for the sake of Allah except that Allah gives him better than what he left. That's with regards to the sins. If you leave something for the sake of Allah, Allah will give you better than what you left. And this ayah here in Surah Al-Kahf also shows us a corollary, a similar rule. And that is, never does Allah take away something that you love and you are patient, except that Allah will give you something better in its stead. Never does Allah take away something that you wanted, and you're patient at that, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you something better. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. For every difficulty, there will be multiple ease. And so, next time you face a calamity, be patient in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have full yaqeen that whatever has been taken away, you will get it back much more than that. And this is of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the wall, wa amma al-jidar, It belonged to two young orphans in the city. And underneath this was a treasure that their father had buried. And their father was a righteous man. وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا فَأَرَادَ رَبُّكَ أَنْ يَبْلُغَ أَشُدَّهُمَا. So your Lord wanted that these two young men, they grow up to be fully strong and independent. And then they discover the gold from themselves as a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the story therefore is that this city was so stingy they couldn't give us a glass of water. What do you think they would have done if they found this gold? Do you think they would have given it to these defenseless orphans? If that is their state, they're not going to give us some bread. Do you think they would have given the orphans their gold? Of course not. So, their father was a righteous man. And Allah protected the financial dependency of the children because of the righteousness of the father. Because their father was good, Allah protected the financial well-being of the children. How so? By causing Khidr to come and put the wall back up so that when the young men, they grow to be fully young and independent, when they truly need the money and can defend it, if they're 5 or 6, what are they going to do with the fortune? If they're 25, 30, that's when you need money for your future investment. So Allah wanted to allow them to grow up, they can find the treasure and then defend it and take advantage of it. And notice here that subhanAllah, put yourself in the shoes of their mother. Put yourself in the shoes of their mother, where she must be wondering, where is the money and how am I going to take care of myself? Who will take care of me? Understand her frustration. Understand she might be wondering, where is the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yet, if Allah had helped her right at that point in time, and they had discovered this massive treasure, from in front of her eyes, the treasure would have disappeared. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for a wisdom known to Him, delayed the response of her dua, delayed the response of her petitioning, and allowed the poverty to remain. It must have been difficult. But why? Because Allah knows when to give the money, when it's needed. And what this shows us is so many things. Of the most important benefits of this story, of the story of the two orphans here, is that when you are faced with a calamity and you're wondering, where is the help of Allah? Why is it taking so long? Remind yourself, Allah knows when to respond to your dua. Allah knows when to give you what you want. Put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And know that Allah's knowledge is infinite and your knowledge is finite. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Remember what Allah says in the Quran. It is possible you love something but it is bad for you. It is possible you hate something but Allah will put much good in it for you. Allah knows. As long as you have a connection with Allah, whatever happens will be for the best. And if you don't have that connection with Allah, then nothing will be for the best. Also notice here, the last two stories, Allah preserved the religion and the finances of the children because of the religion of the parents. Listen to this very carefully, O parents in the audience. We all want our children to be happy and successful. In the first story, that child would have been a bad child, would have been an evil child. So Allah wanted to give them a good child. Why did He give them a good child? Because the two parents were mu'minain. When the parents were mu'minain, Allah gave them children that were mu'min. So when the parents were good, their children were also good. In the second story, Allah blessed the children with wealth. Why? وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. So you want your children to be happy, and you want your children to be successful, and you want your children to flourish, start with yourself. Correct yourself. Be good in your own life. Be a role model for them. And have that khushu' and taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah will shower blessings of this world and the next. And Allah mentions this explicitly in the Quran. Allah says in one verse, وَلْيَخْشَ الَّذِينَ لَوْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّةً ضِعَافًا خَافُوا عَلَيْهِمْ فَلْيَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Allah says, if you're worried about dying and leaving, I'm translating metaphorically, not word for word. If you're worried about dying an early death, and you're leaving young children that nobody will take care of, what is the solution? فَلْيَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Have taqwa of Allah. Monitor your speech. We'll take care of your kids. Literally, this is what the Quran says. You're worried about dying young and leaving family that nobody can take care of? I'll tell you what to do. فَلْيَتَّقُ اللَّهَ وَلْيَقُولُ قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Have taqwa of Allah and say good words. Monitor your speech and Allah will take care of the kids. And this story proves this, that Allah Azza wa Jal took the father and the children were young, but He didn't leave the children. He didn't neglect the children. And just because of the righteousness of the father, in this story the mother's not even mentioned. She might have been just average. She might not have been something saliha. She might have been just a believer. But the father was a good man. Just because of the father, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of the kids. Brothers and sisters, start with yourselves. Start with your immediate families. You and your spouse have a good Islamic relationship. If you treat your wife nicely, wives, if you teach your husbands nicely in an Islamic manner, you will implant in your children the role model of how to grow up. They will subconsciously learn what does it mean to be a Muslim. The love, the tenderness, the rahmah, this will be a part of their culture. And when you do this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower His barakat upon you in this world and the next. And we'll finish the story here. وَمَا فَعَلْتُهُ عَنْ أَمْرِي ذَلِكَ تَأْوِيلُ مَا لَمْ تَسْطِعْ عَلَيْهِ صَبْرًا. Khidr says, I didn't do this for myself. I was not the one who was doing this thing. And we said, this verse in particular is the strongest evidence that Khidr is a prophet. Because Khidr says, I didn't do this of myself. Allah told me to do this. This is the interpretation of that which you didn't have the patience for. Another point here, by the way, I forgot to mention. Beautiful nukta, an interesting point. When Khidr mentions that he wanted to destroy the ship, that he caused damage to the ship, Khidr mentions in the first person, فَأَرَدْتُ أَنْ أَعِيبَهَا. I wanted to damage the ship. And when Khidr mentions the blessing of the child, and the substitution of the child, and to save the treasure here, فَأَرَادَ رَبُّكَ. Your Lord wanted that the children get the treasure. So what did Khidr do? He did something that is of the Islamic manners. You ascribe negative to yourself, and you ascribe positive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You ascribe فَأَرَدْتُ أَنْ أَعِيبَهَا. I wanted to damage the ship. Even though we know Allah told him to do this, but he didn't want to say this. I wanted to damage the ship. And when he wants to say something good, Allah wanted them to have a child. Allah wanted them to discover the treasure. And this also is in the dua of Ibrahim, when Ibrahim says, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. Even though الْمَرَضُ وَالشِّفَاءُ مِنَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ. When I fall sick, not when Allah causes me to fall sick. Rather, when I fall sick, Allah cures me. Even though the sickness and the cure is both from Allah. But you ascribe the evil to yourself, you ascribe the good to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Prophet ﷺ said, وَالشَّرُّ لَيْسَ إِلَيْكَ وَالْخَيْرُ كُلُّهُ بِيَدَيْكَ. No evil is ascribed to you, all good comes from you. And we mentioned this in the story of Adam and Iblis. Adam says, I did the sin. Iblis accuses Allah, you forced me to do the sin. Evil you ascribe to yourself, and good you ascribe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The final point, the main theme of all of these three stories, for us, practically speaking, is if you are righteous and you put your trust in Allah, then everything that happens, there is a wisdom, there is a secret, there is qadr that is for your good in this world. And of course, the next will come. But even in this world, any accident, any loss of life, any trial, any sickness, whatever happens, there is a wisdom and there is good for you in this world before the next. The main point, you must have that relationship with Allah that those fishermen had, that the righteous parents had, that the salih person had. And when you do this, your deen and your dunya, this world and the next, everything will be taken care of. That is the main point. He who believes in qadr can never feel depressed. He who believes that Allah is in control of everything can never go into depression and say, why is this happening to me? Allah Azza wa Jal loves you more than your mother does, as our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. So Allah's plan is better than your plan, and Allah's wisdom is infinitely more than your wisdom. Put your trust in Allah and know that whatever happens, happens for your good, as long as you truly believe in Allah and put your tawakkul in Him. And inshallah we will resume tomorrow. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.